Okay, it's a rhyme tov, everybody. Chodesh tov, even in a lunch food, we'll wish you a chodesh tov. It's in the Beit HaMikdash, halayla holech achar hayom. So that's it. Still, we'll consider all of Israel to be the Makom HaMikdash, where the day, the night follows the day in Israel, right? The day starting at night is only outside the Beit HaMikdash. Otherwise, the day starts in the morning. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody on behalf of Torah Motion and 929 to part nine of our 30-part series on Sefer Tehillim, the most original explanations of Sefer Tehillim you'll hear anywhere in the world. I'm convinced of that. Always Dr. Benny's brilliant insights and creativity is always a behold to a joy to behold. So, Bakasha, Rav Benny, let's start number nine.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the credit. Doesn't go to me. It goes to many researchers and primarily to David HaMelech and whoever wrote it, Ezra Sofer. So it's a pleasure to talk today about, in lecture nine, about Mizmor 47, which is well known from Rosh Hashanah. I learned, thanks a lot for the feedback for the questionnaires who people filled out. And it is unique for the feedback of these kind of shiurim that it is too much to overview. I gave last week a shiur, lecture eight, an overview on more than 40 mizmorim. It's too much. If one doesn't know them by heart, it's hard to understand it. It can see trends. I think that's not the problem. It might be a problem of my lecture, but it's primarily a problem the way we learn Tehillim. We learn it, one is for Rosh Hashanah, Shir Shel Yom. We don't learn it as a unit. And therefore, it's so critically important to read them in a flow, in a continuum. And that's what I'm trying to do today. I will do it a little bit in a different way. Last time, I gave an overview on book two and three. And as I promised you, I will afterwards split it down, a breakdown on many, on five, six lectures. So we start today from below, from Mizmor 47. I want to show you didactically, methodologically, that there is a problem in Mizmor 47, which is only answered if we look at the two adjacent Mizmorim as well. There is no other way to explain that. That's both interesting for Mizmor 47, and it's interesting for the method. And afterwards, I want to take off from there to talk about the collection of Korach, the first part, and a little bit about the second part. We cannot cover all the 12 Mizmorim, of course, but I want to start with one mizmor, move to the three, and afterwards give an overview at the end. I would like to start with an introductory note on Chazal, Midrashei Chazal. And as I mentioned several times, I learned in the yeshiva and I feel home at there. I enjoy research and I enjoy new innovative research. What do we do with Ma'amarei Chazal, with statements from Chazal, which seem to be not clearly understood? And I want to encourage you to take them very, very seriously. Chazal, our sages, were very smart people, and to look at them in a very respectful way. And I want to show with two examples on Mizmor 47 why was it chosen for Rosh Hashanah. Wonderful, wonderful insight, which meets very well the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. If you read 47 in the context of 46, 47, 48, I think they had a brilliant insight, and I actually identified that these three Mizmorim are one unit. Furthermore, there is a Rashi based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that who were the authors of Korach? These are the sons of Korach in the Torah, who was fighting against, rebelled against Moshe. And they gave a very, very colorful picture that they said it just when they were almost about to be killed, going to hell. And they were somewhere between hell and heaven when they had an inspiration and made tshuva and were saying these mizmorim. That's the feature of Mizmorei Korach, according to Chazal, which Rashi brings right away in his first Pasuk to Mizmorei Korach. It looks not really true, but I want to show you in the course of the lecture that they had an excellent understanding, a very, very deep and powerful understanding. So looking at Chazal, we should not be, we should look at them with a lot of modesty and try to understand the deep meaning, as I will try to show later. That's the overview of the entire book. Hopefully next week, this version will be available in English at the website. We will still modifying it a little bit. It's a very, very condensed mizmor. If you know this graphic presentation by heart, you understood the entire shiur of 30 lectures. In the middle between book 3 and 4 is the change from the first to the second temple. And we discussed last time the unit of book 2 and 3. I spoke briefly about David collection 1 and 2 in the first book and then the second. We will talk about that next week. And we will talk today not about all the songs of Korach and Asaph, as you see here in green. We will talk only about the Mizmorim of Korach, as you see them here. And only, that means still 8 Mizmorim here and 4 Mizmorim here. I will explain that there is a connection between them, these 12 Mizmorim. I will not explain today. I will now make a breakdown from all the overview I gave and talk only about Korach. Who are Bnei Korach historically? What do we know about them in the Bible? And most importantly, what is the message of their 12 Mizmorim? I will not deal today in detail, at least if for sure not in detail, why they were separated in 2 different units. It will get hopefully clear when we talk about Asaph and David, how they are all put beautifully together. So that is the overview, which is like an opening. And now we start with one mizmor. It's the mizmor which we say 7 times before Tkiat Shofar. I'm not aware of any other mizmor who has the honor to be recited 7 times. So it has to be something very unique with this mizmor and the connection to Rosh Hashanah. Let's read the mizmor. You have here the translation, and we should talk about the structure and afterwards more details. So the focus today is one mizmor with 10 psukim, and we'll take it afterwards from there. L'manatzeach livnei Korach mizmor. Kol ha'amim tikauchav, hariu le'elohim bekol rina, ki Adonai elyon nora. Melech Gadol al kol haaretz. Yadber amim tachteinu. Ule'umim tachat ragleinu. Yifchar lanu et nachalateinu et go'on Yaakov asher ahel. Sela. Ala Elohim bitrua Adonai bekol shofar. Zamru Elohim zameru. Zamru lemalkeinu zameru. Ki melech kol haaretz Elohim. Zamru maskim. Malach Elohim al goyim, Elohim yashav al kisei kodesho. Nedivei amim ne'esafu, am Elohei Avraham. Ki l'Elohim maginei eretz, me'od na'ale. Me'od na'ala. So here we have 10 psukim. You see here, it is at the beginning an invitation to all the nations to sing and to accept Hashem. The Jewish people was chosen with a special role. We have to understand what is the role for all the nation by the Jewish people. And afterwards, Israel and all the nations accept the kingdom of Hashem and the vision of peace, the kingdom of God's kingdom over all the nation. And all the nations are called Am Elohei Avraham, the nation, the people of the God of Avraham. It comes from a very national understanding, Gaon Yaakov Asher Ahev Sela, the pride of Jacob, in Pasuk 5, and at the end, God of Abraham for all the nations. It thrives from a national experience, or the nations, Am Yisrael, and at the end, they are all together. That's an interesting development. Here we have the way I look at the Mizmorim in a systematic way. We have again the text in Hebrew, only in Hebrew, and I want to make a few comments. I want to read it again and comment on a few aspects what we just read. Kol ha'amim tik'uchav. All nations should come and should clap their hands. What is the meaning of clapping the hands? There is no way to translate it, because in Hebrew, tikiya is also clapping the hands, but it's also blowing a shofar. If you blow the shofar, it has to bring people together. Tikiyat kaf is today, if you agree in something and you shake hands. So it's not only clapping hands, Malbim says, it's actually an acceptance. And we share hands, we give hands each other in order to create a unity, a unit altogether. Hariu l'Elohim b'kol rina. And you should sing for Hashem with a joyous voice. It's not only an acceptance, a legal or a religious acceptance. It is an experience. It is an emotional experience. Kol rina is mentioned in the Bible only twice, both only in the Korach collection. It's mentioned, as you see here below, in Mem Bet, but I promised to talk only on Mem Zayin, on 47. So I just want to draw your attention. And of course, there is a flow from the beginning of Korach 42 to 47. Ki Adonai Elyon Nora, Melech Gadol Al Kol Haaretz. God is high, up high. And he is a big king above the entire world. Where is God in Pasuk Gimel? I want to emphasize it here because it will change. God is Elyon, and he is a king, a big king, over the entire earth. Yadber amim tachteinu, uleumim tachat ragleinu. This pasuk, I will elaborate it afterwards, this pasuk has major problems. He will subdue people under beneath him, us, and nations under our feet. And here's the question which I ask since I remember myself, trying to understand what I say in the Sidur. You invite the nations, they should sing, they should accept God, they should create an international unity of Am Elohei Yaakov. Why to be so aggressive with them? Invite them, tell them Shalom Aleichem, how wonderful that you join. Why this to destroy them? So you will find commentators, I will not mention them, very respectful commentators who say Yadber Amim Tachteinu means we should start a dialogue, Milashon Dibur. That is totally wrong. It's apologetics, because Yadber means to destroy. And if you want to talk to them, there is no reason to say to talk to them in a dialogue, Tachteinu, underneath us and under our feet. So that is not a very unsuccessful apologetics. Pasuk Dalet deserves more attention. We'll come back to that in a moment. Yivchar lanu et nachalateinu. We'll do that in Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael takes a leadership, Selah. So Am Yisrael has a role for other nations to invite them. They come all, and they come now to Yerushalayim, nachalateinu. And now they witness Allah Elohim bitruah Adonai bekol shofar. By blowing the shofar or listening to the voice of the shofar, we accept the kingdom. And here's a beautiful insight by Professor Meir Weiss, Rabbi Professor Meir Weiss, an outstanding scholar in Jerusalem, originally from Hungary. And he wrote beautiful, beautiful analysis of several mizmorim. What's the difference if we say in Pasuk Zayin, sing praise to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. What's the difference between the first part and the second part of the Pasuk? And he has a beautiful insight. The Mizmor encouraged the nations under the leadership of Am Yisrael to accept, all nations should accept God. We address the nations, Zamru, you should sing the following word. It's a song, has one word. Elohim, God is there. Acceptance of the monotheism. We sing, God is there. But we ask the nations who are encouraged in Pasuk 2, Hariu le Elohim, the Kol Rina, and remember we are in the collection of Elohim, you should sing to him. Zamru Elohim Zameru. But we, Am Yisrael, we already accepted him as king. We are his servants. Sing Zamru Lemalkeinu Zameru. Follow us, we say to the nations. You should say God by accepting the belief in a monotheistic belief, but you should follow to our king. There are three important differences between Elohim and Lemalkeinu. Elohim is just the word, the quotation of the song. Lemalkeinu means sing to our God. We are close to him, to the Melech. Melech is mentioned in the Mizmor four times, as you can see here. You should sing to the king who is our God. Lamet Lemalkeinu is not mentioned. We have a relationship. They don't. He is our king. They do not say Zamru Elokeinu. They did not yet accept him. So the relationship between Elohim and our king, which reflects a significant difference, that's the difference the way we invite the nations in the first part of the Pasuk and in the second part of the Pasuk, because we will lead you and invite you to be part of our worship to Hashem, that we are the Avadim and he is Malkeinu, so you will join us. And now once you did that, the next Pasuk, Ki melech kol ha'aretz Elohim zamru maskil. Professor Meir Weiss points out, at the beginning, he is melech gadol al kol ha'aretz, a big king over the entire planet Earth. At the end, he is melech kol ha'aretz Elohim. Once Am Yisrael and the nations accepted him, he is not melech al kol ha'aretz, he is present all over, and therefore not Melech Gadol, and not Melech Al Haaretz, and not Elyon. He is now with us. Zamru Maskil. Malach Elohim Al Goyim, indeed he reigns, he is king over all of them, and now Hashem sits on Kiseh Kodesho. Didn't he have beforehand God that he sits on his holy throne? Didn't happen in between that the nation sang. So the explanation is, once everybody accepts him and everybody recognizes him, his Kiseh Kodesho is recognized. He doesn't need us to do that, but this Kiseh Kodesho will be evident once everybody accepts him. And now we praise that all the nations came, and the Nedivim are those who are generous, who volunteer. They came and they create one nation. That's the vision of a international, a multinational, a universal kingdom of Elohei Avraham. Avraham is not like Yaakov, the father of the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes. Avraham is Av Hamon Goyim, the father for all nations. So since everybody accepts him, there is a change between Avraham, from Yaakov to Avraham. That's the flow of the Mizmor. You saw here the word Elyon, which appears five times, Allah. At the end it says, Me'od na'ala, everything is very, very elevated. The translation I showed you in the previous slide, he is greatly elevated. It might be not only Hashem, the world is elevated once we accept Hashem. So one of the leading words is Allah, Amim, Gadol, and we explained this one. It's obvious that when they talk at the end about Elohei Avraham, as you can see here, when we mention Elohei Avraham, Mizmor 47 actually quotes the word Elyon, Goyim, Avraham, Maginei Aretz, from the Psukim in Sefer Breshit, where it says Hashem, Avraham accepted Hashem as Elyon, as Magen, and as Av Hamon Goyim. So if we see here at the end of the Mizmor that Avraham is mentioned, he's not only mentioned with his name, he is mentioned with the words, the way he recognized and was a servant of Hashem. Let's come back now for a moment to the difficult question which I raised before, this wonderful atmosphere that all the nations come and join and learn and everybody accepts them. How is it possible that at the entry, when they come in Pasuk Dalit, it says right away that he will subdue peoples beneath us and nations under our feet? This Pasuk doesn't fit the atmosphere of the Mizmor, the message of the Mizmor. It is a friendly Mizmor. It's an international Mizmor. All of them are Am Elohei Avraham. Why all of a sudden this attitude of, I don't know, violence or power that all the nations will be under Am Yisrael, under our feet? That is like a thorn in the eye. It is unacceptable. And I showed that here below with this cartoon. And it's not only not hard to understand, I think it doesn't make sense for the idea, the vision of the international, of the universal acceptance of Hashem. It's a painful pasuk, which I had major difficulties to understand. I could quote you right away that contextual interpretation will give the answer, but I enjoy to give you a quotation from a famous piece in the Rambam, in his famous letter to Taiman, Yemen. And he says, if we look at the pasuk and not in the context, you will get the most strange and wrong conclusions. It says in the Torah, "Va'avadetem Elohim Acherim," you will worship other gods, idolatry. Of course, that's not a mitzvah. It is only in the context you will be punished to do that. So if we don't look at it in the context, we will not understand it. I think we have here one of the most fascinating proofs of the contextual interpretation, which will show that this significant problem, when we look at it carefully, is actually a wonderful insight. And that happens if we look at Mizmor 46, 47, and 48. I don't have the time in this lecture to elaborate it, so I will make it briefly. In Mizmor 46, we have a description, God protects us during all bad times. Even the world is about to be destroyed. Hashem will protect us, will bring us back to Yerushalayim, and will save us there. And all nations who try to kill us, Hashem will help us. He will be support for us. He will be a protection for us. Adonai Tzvot Imanu, Misgav Lanu Elohei Yaakov Sela. And here happens something quite rare in Sefer Tehillim. The Mizmor, the author says, Hashem will destroy all weapons, like in Yeshayahu. He will destroy them. He will burn them. He will break all the weapons. And he tells the nation, Harpo u'da'u ki anochi Elohim, Ahum va'goyim, Ahum va'aretz. God talks. That doesn't happen very often in Tehillim, at least five times, that God talks, but that's not the style of Tehillim. In Tehillim, the writer talks. And here, God talks. He tells the nations, it's important enough, Ki Anochi Elohim, I'm God. Please accept me as God. Stop fighting. Stop with war. And he says, I will be respected all over all the nations and over the entire planet, the world. If we look at these words, a quotation from Hashem, actually, Ahum Vagoyim, that happens in 47. Ahum Va'aretz is a description that Jerusalem will be the city of Am Yisrael and of the entire world. So Ahum Vagoyim and Ahum Va'aretz is like a program for the next two Mizmorim. And in Mizmor Memchet 48, it says, God is great, and he, Yerushalayim, is wonderful, and we live there, and all nations come there, and those who try to fight against us will not be successful. And all the towers and all the buildings in Yerushalayim tell the story of Hashem, and there are misgav. It's a protection for Am Yisrael, and we will live there forever. So what happened between 46, 47, and 48? First of all, we can try to understand what happened. We have a lot of words which appear both in 46 and in 47, both in 47 and 48. And we have another list of words which appear in 46 and 48. For instance, Ir Elohim, the city of God, appears in the entire Tehillim only twice, in 46 and 48. And there are many more words. I will not present and discuss them all. You see them here. So we have here a flow of ideas. It's not that it comes out of the blue. The nations will come and accept God. They come and accept God in 47 because beforehand they want to destroy the world. If they want to cause disasters in the world against Am Yisrael. And Hashem talks to them, never ever war. I will break all your weapons. He says it very clearly. In Tehillim, Hashem talks. It's a powerful message, Mipi HaGvura, right from Hashem. Nobody else can say that. And at the end, all nations will respect me and the entire world will respect me. That's what's going to happen now in Mizmor Mem Zayin. And now we understand, and I believe only now, that the tefillot, the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, reflect exactly these ideas. In Rosh Hashanah, we pray that you will get rid of all the evil, of all the rish'ah from the entire world. Everybody who wants to destroy it, ta'avir memshelet zadon min ha'aretz. That's the idea of Rosh Hashanah in 46, which is expressed in the prayer here. And Yerushalayim will be chosen. Simcha le'artzecha ve'sason le'irecha is a very strong motif in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. Of course, one of the motifs is that God will be a king over all, over Am Yisrael and the entire world. So we have in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah 46, 47, and 48. That's the flow of Rosh Hashanah. Why do we say before Rosh Hashanah only 46, 47? Because it's the turning point. Here we are in big trouble in the war. The nations try to kill us. But we invite the nations who kill us, please accept Hashem and accept him and be part of the international community to worship Hashem. Am Elohei Avraham. If you do so, Yerushalayim will be the chosen city for all nations. That is the story of 46, 47, 48, exactly Rosh Hashanah. Now we understand, and we understand it, I think, very well, why do we say, Yadber Amim Tachteinu Ula'umim Tachat Ragleinu? Chapter 47 is not alone in a vacuum. It is the response of chapter 46, where all nations try to destroy the world. And Hashem tells them, stop it, stop destroying it, stop killing Am Yisrael. Never again that you try to do war. And he tells them very, very clearly, never war. If that is the message of 46, when they enter now in 47 to the Mikdash, Hashem wants them. Hashem wants them to shake hands to each other, to have a union that everybody should accept them. But he tells them very, very clearly, if you walk in, you will not destroy. There is, like in Israel, in many places, a security checkpoint. Nobody comes with weapon. Yadber amim tachteinu ulomim tachat ragleinu. If you do that, be our guest, be our partner in our minyan of Am Elohei Avraham. Coming from 46, inviting the nations is a tremendous step. To invite the enemy to be part of Am Yisrael is an unbelievable step. We have to make sure nobody walks in with a weapon. That is Yadber Amim Tachteinu Ule'umim Tachat Ragleinu. Only 46 can explain this difficulty. I think all the other explanations which I saw are useless and wrong and disappointing. But furthermore, this explanation of Yadber Amim Tachteinu appears in Sefer Tehillim in the entire Tanakh only twice, as I tried to show here in the text right on the color. You see the white color. In Mem Zayin, we say Yadber Amim Tachteinu Ulomim Tachat Ragleinu. Only King David in chapter 18, which we discussed at length. It's the authentic Mizmor. We spoke about it in the lecture before. King David said, then when he was attacked by his enemies and he had to fight against them, and he said, Hashem, ha'elam ten li nekamot, ha'elam oten nekamot li, vayatber amin tachtai. King David knew exactly what it means to be in a war, in an existential threat. That is King David. If we say in chapter 47, please protect us from the nations, we pay respect to King David, who showed us there are a lot of enemies. 46 is full of enemies. They come to the city of David, Baruch haba, everybody is welcome. But who is leading here is King David. Yatber amim tachteinu is a quotation of King David in chapter 18. I think that is an explanation which really is a wonderful example of parshanut hekshirit, the contextual interpretation, and what was the difficulty to me for many, many years, for decades, is now such a meaningful message. Yes, we are open for peace. We are open for a universal approach. Everybody is our guest. But be careful. All the enemies, whoever has a weapon with him, he has no chance. He will never, ever kill again. Never again. So that is the insight of 46 till 47. I want to give you now an overview on who are the Korach. We looked at 47, we looked at the two neighbors, and we got a clear understanding, I hope, that we have to look at them in a row. If we look at 1 and 3 together, why not all the Korach? And I want to understand who are Korach based on what we know from other psukim in the Bible, not only in Tehillim. And it's very simple. And we would see also that what we know about Korach from other places in the Bible, Sitz im Leben, we will actually learn a lot how they are integrated in Sefer Tehillim. This slide tries to show you a most wonderful logic, systematic flow. And if you don't look at the big picture from above, you will never see it. In Divrei HaYamim, it says, these are the singers which David chose that they should work in the Mikdash when he brought Aaron, the tabernacle, to Yerushalayim. And there were people with him till Shlomo was building the temple. Because he didn't build it, he killed too many people, he was not the person to build the temple. And it says there, there were people from Kehat, Haman, the singer, the son of Shmuel. And there were others, children of Korach. And there was another group of singers in the temple, his brother Asaf, Ha'omed al Yemino Asaf ben Berechia ben Shima, his brother Asaf, who stood at his right. Asaf and Korach are neighbors in the Mikdash. David prepared the Mikdash. He didn't build it. He told and appointed Shlomo to do that, but he has to step back. He cannot build the Mikdash because he killed. Shlomo will do it. For the time being, let's appoint these singers. That's exactly what we see here in Sefer Tehillim. We have in the middle the collection of King David, 51 to 72. At the end, Shlomo is mentioned. And beforehand, we have Korach and Asaf. So the way they appeared in the Mikdash in Divrei HaYamim, that's exactly the template, the same order they appear in the book of Tehillim. Now we have in the second temple period, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, clear description that when they came back to the city of David, that's the name Yerushalayim is called there very often, they had singers, the Levi'im, Bnei Asaf. And they were actually the first people who were singing Tehillim. Look at their text. And they were singing it. And they said Tehillim, Vayanu ba'alel uvehodot l'Adonai kitov, ki le'olam chazor. That's classical language of Tehillim. That's a Tehillim classical language. And who was there? Nehemiah, he had his gatekeepers, Korach, and he had his singers, which are Asaph. And here we see Asaph is mentioned. I don't know why Korach is not mentioned. I cannot explain that. But he is mentioned, David, and Shlomo, and Asaph. Asaph appears in the second period, temple period. David ve'Asaph mikedem, and Asaph of older ages. So what we have here is exactly what we see in Sefer Tehillim here, that after King David in the time of the first temple, we have Asaph b'nei Korach. We don't find here, but we have them from the first temple. And interestingly enough, Shmuel is also mentioned. Why Shmuel? Because Shmuel appointed King Shaul and King David. So Shmuel was the person, like a spiritual mentor for King David. These singers, Asaph and Korach and David, have a very, very close relationship in the first temple period and in the second temple period. It even says in the Sefer Ezra that a lot of these priests and Kohanim who were there were crying when they saw the Mikdash because they remembered the first temple period. So it is a continuity from the first temple period in the second book to the third book to the time afterwards. That is the logic of Sefer Tehillim. And if we understand that, that according to the Pshat Tanakh, the Korach and Asaph are a link between first and second temple period, Chazal take us to a much higher level in a beautiful Midrash. And that's what the Torah says when Korach died, Korach who rebelled against Moshe, when he died, he says, "Vatiftach ha'aretz et pia," but he was killed, but the sons of Korach did not die. Bnei Korach lo metu. Here Chachamim came and bring this beautiful midrash. Imagine, Korach and his rebellion against Moshe, they all died, Korach, but not the sons. They made tshuva. And Rashi explains how they made tshuva. It's a beautiful text, Chazal. Why? Chazal understand that when Korach died, it was terrible for Korach, for the children to see death, to see going down to hell. But they decided to live. They decided to behave differently and to hope, and they had Ruach HaKodesh and they were singing. That is the feature, that's the characteristics of the entire 12 books of Bnei Korach. So I could explain if it says in the Tehillim that there are 12 Mizmorim named after Bnei Korach. The only place where Bnei Korach are mentioned in the Bible beforehand is in the story of Korach. And it says they were not part of it. They did not die. But the Midrash makes it much more meaningful. Between death and hell and continue to live and to sing in the Mikdash, there is something very tragic, very, very powerful. You see death, but you continue, you make another, the sons of Korach took another direction. That's exactly the feature of Mizmorei Bnei Korach. So I believe this Midrash, as much as it is very colorful and creative, and on the first impression not very convincing as a pshat, it is the deepest pshat to characterize what Bnei Korach is all about. And again, we have the connection of the first temple period, as we saw in Yeshayahu, the first part and the second part, as we see in Tehillim, as we see the difference between the Book of the Kings and Divrei Hayamim. And now we have another example, Korach and Asaph, which are connected between first and second temple period. But Chazal even take it to a higher level with a very sharp and meaningful definition. These Bnei Korach understood what life is about. And even if the father is killed, they continue. That's a very powerful message. So if that was a more historical summary, I want now to take Mizmor Mem Zayin and present it in the context of the 12 Mizmorei Tehillim. And that's a very, very crowded slide. So I start only with Mizmor Mem Zayin. We read at the beginning Mem Zayin and got an understanding why it was chosen for Rosh Hashanah, We learned that it was chosen in the context of 46, 47, 48, as I showed at the beginning. And now we see here a phenomenal structure of the 12 Korach Mizmorim. 8 Mizmorim at the beginning are presented in the second book, if you see it the way I present it here. And they have the title Maskil, Maskil, and one says Maskil and Shir, insights in a song, and at the end they sing. Here they have a lot of songs, which it's part of the danger, and there is a clear structure, there is a narrative which I cannot elaborate now. At the end, it talks about death and value of human life. And here we have the third book, and we have a total analogy of 5 pairs, which have the same topic, which it's not the scope of this lecture. We should talk about these 12 Mizmorim for a semester. I did it several times, and it's always very rewarding. Chapter 42 and chapter 42, 43, they correspond to chapter 84. And you will see there is a term which appears only twice, El Chai in Sefer Tehillim. Ibn Ezra took it together in his beautiful song for Friday night. Tzama nafshi le'elohim le'el chai, libi ufsari yirananu el chai. A specific term at the beginning of Korach 1 and of Korach 2. He wants to come to the Mikdash. Mishkenotecha appears only in here, in the first part of the Korach 1 and Korach 2. And it goes on. Not all are that clear, but to me, it is very, very clear what the meaning is. The term Ir Elohim, the city of Hashem, appears in 46 and 48, and only one more time in Tehillim in Mizmor 87. They correspond. And we will talk about Korach 2 when we get there, but I want to show you now the difference. And that's a powerful philosophy, interpretation of the text, really amazing. I call it also psychology of Korach. They knew what it means to be in danger in the first Korach collection. And the first Korach collection is part of the Elohim collection, as I show you at the left margin of this slide. And afterwards, when it comes to the second collection, it is nostalgic thinking, not Elohim. They really want to get closer to Hashem. Yes, we are just about somewhere between hell and heaven. I really want to stick to Hashem regardless of hell. So they lift themselves to a higher level in the second Korach connection. I would like to recommend you, if you learn now with 929 Tehillim, take the Korach as a unit, forget for a moment that they are somewhere totally different, and read them according to this slide. You will see wonderful, amazing insights. I have huge material, big slides, which I will not show you. It is full of details, but you will see it's the same story. We are in trouble, but Hashem saved us, and from the nations, they will all accept Hashem, come to Yerushalayim. And here we thank for it. We love Hashem for his love, for the same flow of ideas. Why do they do that? Before I move forward now to the slide to explain that, I cannot skip the following side note. Bnei Korach collection starts with the pasuk, Kol Mishberecha Vegalecha Alai Avaru. At the beginning, and at the end, it is split in two different psukim. Kol mishbarecha alai avaru. All your breakers and billows have swept over me. He is really like Korach, just about to go to hell. But he's not going there. He sings, as Chazal say. And now let's take a look only on these two terms, which are such a beautiful framework of the entire Korach collection. Chapter 42 at the very beginning of Korach 1. Chapter 88, closes that all your breakers are over me. It's in two different psukim. All these four words, the two words, appear only twice in Sefer Tehillim. However, they appear one more time in the Bible. They appear in Sefer Yonah. We are not talking today about Sefer Yonah. What's the connection to Sefer Yonah? Only one more time in the beautiful prayer in chapter 2 of Sefer Yonah, when he is in the middle of the in the belly of the huge fish, and he is praying all of a sudden to Hashem, and he says, "Kol mishbarecha vegalecha alai avaru." Exactly the same wording, the five words. Is that an example? Is that not meaningful? Do you think that Yonah has nothing else to quote Korach, if he has nothing new to say? So just say he was davening. Why did he say that? And I think the answer is clear and powerful. I elaborated that those who we read Hebrew, I have here the reference to my analysis of Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah and Korach have something in common. They are just between hell, and they pray to Hashem and want to get lifted up and to get back to Hashem. That's a beautiful message. There is no better example for the experience of Bnei Korach between hell and heaven than Yonah, who is in the middle of the ocean, just about to die, and all your breakers and billows have swept over me. If you want to see really a good example, look at Sefer Yonah. And he made it and he came back. That is exactly Bnei Korach. Despite that we are far away and in big trouble, this intertextuality is a miracle of biblical poetry, which is so extremely meaningful. But now I want to show you as an example what I showed here, the correspondence of 46, 47, 48. The three mizmorim have a partner in 87. So the last minutes, I would like to read one more mizmor. It is chapter 87. A fascinating mizmor, and we have to be very careful to understand it properly. I can fully understand that Chazal, Rashi, had a very special understanding, which is mi ani, who am I to argue with Rashi, but I want to look at the text the way it is, according, which is obvious from the text. Livnei Korach mizmor shir. Yesudato beharei kodesh, ohev Adonai sharei tzion, mikol mishkenot Yaakov. Nichbadot medubar bach, ir ha-Elohim, Sela. Azkirav uvavel leyodai, hinei pleshet vetzur imkush, ze yulat sham, ule tzion ye amer ish veish, yulad ba, vehu yechonneneha, Elyon, Adonai yispor bichtov amim. Ze yulat sham, Sela. Vesharim kecholelim kol mayanai bach. There is a lot to talk about this mizmor. Mizmor Korach says here that there is a special holiness. He sings. And there is the mountains of the Kedusha of sanctuary. And these gates of Yerushalayim, the Mishkenot of Yaakov, they are very, very meaningful. It's part of Ir Elohim. And who are the guests? Azki Ra'av uVavel Yodai. Who is Ra'av? Rahav and Bavel. Rahav, according to another pasuk in Yeshayahu, Rahav is Egypt. Egypt will come and Babylon will come. And they are my beloved ones. Egypt and Babel, the first exile in Egypt, the second exile in Babylon, they are my beloved ones. How can one say that? So Rashi says these are the Gerim. Pleshet, Vetzor, Imkush, Vezeyulat Sham, and other nations come. We have a special explanation for Pleshet and Tzor. They all come. Oh, they are born far away. They were born there in their own country. No, Yerushalayim is the city for all nations. ולציון יאמר איש ואיש יולד בה. Not יולד שם, as we see here, and as we see here. They are all citizens of the world, cosmopolis of Yerushalayim. והוא יכונניה עליון. These are the words, יכונניה, and עיר האלוהים, from chapter 46, 47, 48. השם יספור בכתוב עמים. He will count them, or he will write them in his books when all the nations come, and he will accept them. You are all born here. All nations are part of Yerushalayim. And Hashem accepts them. So imagine he is at the entry to the city, at the border, the pass control. Hashem yispor bichtov amim. And he puts a stamp in the book of everybody. All are the citizens of Yerushalayim. Come here from Egypt, from Babylon, from Pleshet, from Tzor, you name it. That's the glory of Yerushalayim, the city for all nations. But not only a citizenship, you will sing there. And they will play. And they will have the deepest desire, all the nations in Yerushalayim. What a vision. What a vision. Now let's come back to compare the unit in Korach 1, 46, 47, 48, to the unit in Korach 2, 87. And we have a miracle of biblical poetry, of the structure of the literature and biblical philosophy. Korach, when they were in trouble, as King David was in the second book, and he was fighting for himself, yes, the nations attack me, but we will go to Yerushalayim. They will not kill us, the nation. Oh, we will invite them in 47 that the nations should come. Vakasha, you should come, be our guest. Respect Hashem, please, no weapons. And you will be there and you will be the God of part of Am Elohe Avraham. 47. And Yerushalayim will be respected by all nations, a beautiful city, and nations who come to respect Hashem, welcome. Those who come to fight against Hashem, they will be broken, destroyed. That is a Jewish experience, a national experience, in the first part of Korach 1. When Korach 2 talks, he takes the same word of Ir Elohim, only in Korach 1 in the middle and in Korach 2. And he says there is a deja vu. I take it to another level. In Korach 2, when we are in the exile and try to come back from the exile, and we suffered so terribly from the exile, we not only want to come back to Eretz Yisrael as a national experience for the Jewish people. Now we take all our nations with us. And which nations? The worst. The most terrible enemies. We invite them, Bavel, Mitzrayim, and Bavel. We invite them. You will be part of Yerushalayim. Why? Because in the future, Yerushalayim will be called Ki Beiti Beit Tefila Yikare L'chol Ha'amim. Hashem says in Yeshayahu, my home will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Korach, who was in trouble in the second book, he just was thinking how to survive, as my grandmother used to say, git for the Yidden or schlecht for the Yidden. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to survive the war, the threats. No, when they come back from the exile, they have a totally new vision. Not just to be saved from the nations, they will save the nations. In Korach 1, we are in terrible trouble. In 46, they kill us and destroy the world. But Yerushalayim is our refuge, our protection. And 47, the nations will come, to some extent powerful, Yadber Amim Tachteinu, and we will be the citizens of Yerushalayim, and they will come to visit us. Korach 2 takes the same ideas, the same motifs, but he says, no, all the nations will come. The worst enemies will come. That is an unbelievable statement, to take the worst enemies and to transform them to be a part of the program of peace. That's unbelievable vision. I want to show you now. And now if you read 47, which we will read hopefully when we get there, 87 comes from 86, and the context there is most beautiful if you read it in this flow. Let me show you, now we repeat a little bit what I said in the past. Korach 1 is part of the collection of Elohim, the order, the structure, the fight, the Midat Hadin and justice. Korach 2 is just at the end when it's done, and we have still a very strong relationship to Hashem, a very personal and private relationship. Let's look now again, I spoke about that in the previous shiur, what happens at the transition between 83 and the Korach collection, when the word of the name of Elohim, which is very often and dominant in these unit, is now replaced by Hashem. And we discussed it last time, but I want to repeat that again. In 83, at the very end of Asaf, it says, all the nations will come and will prepare a final solution for Am Yisrael. Ki hinei oyevecha yo yehemayun u'mesameecha nas'u rosh. Alamcha yarim usot v'yityatzu al tzfunecha. Amru lechu v'nakchidem migoy v'lo yizacher shem Yisrael od. Am Yisrael will never be mentioned again. Endlösung. Final solution. Who are these nations? Pleshet im yoshvei tzor. A whole collection of 11 nations. They are all together in a coalition to kill Am Yisrael. Not one man, not one person should survive and be called a Jewish person. That is 83. At the end of this unit, and now we are in 87, in the Mizmor, we forgive the nations. We invite them. Why do we invite them? Because in 47, they accepted Hashem. They have no weapons anymore. They are not dangerous anymore. They have a desire to worship Hashem. Let's see. Hashem invites them. Nichbadot medubar bach azkira'af ubavel liyodai hinei pleshet v'tzor im kush. The author says, oh, here you are, pleshet and tzor. I know you from somewhere. We met once in the past. Yes, you tried to kill me. And now he invites them. Here you are. Voila. Hinei pleshet v'tzor, you will all be part of the of Zion, of the vision, of the international vision, Am Elohei Avraham. So what Korach 1 prepared, Korach 2 brings it to a higher level. We will not be saved from the nation in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, we will be there and we will save all the nations from their moral deterioration and we will lift them up to be part of that. What an amazing philosophy of biblical texts. And actually, Chazal say that, Ezehu gibor sheba giborim, who is a real gibor, a brave person, misho oses son o ohavo, that he transforms his enemies to be his friends. Pleshet and Saul, who killed us yesterday, today we invite them as friends to be part of the Avodat Hashem. So let's summarize here in a few slides, just to close. These are slides which I showed last time, and we did not discuss, we did not present today the David collection, the second, or the Asaf. We spoke only at Korach. They are the gatekeepers. Of course they are the gatekeepers between hell and heaven. Do you come to the Mikdash or do you stay far away? Do you get there or do you walk out from there? That is Korach, the 12 Mizmorim, which are the frame of book 2 and 3 together. And here we looked at the book here, which is on one hand the second book, the next part of book 1, but I showed that 2 and 3 with this unit, they form one unit. And here we see that when we spoke today about the different units in last week's lecture, King David and the Meshorim and Asaf, the singers, we spoke now only on Korach. They have a clear message, hell or heaven. To sing like Korach, the sons of Korach, are we capable to do so? We better do and learn from them. And that's the framework of the Mikdash. So far, the shiur for today, we discussed 47 in the context. And I want to talk next time about chapter 51, which is the beginning of the second David collection after his sin with Bathsheba. I will focus on Disney's more, enough to talk and beautiful things to learn. I would like to ask you if you have time to read 51 as a following Mizmor to 50. 50 is the first Asaf Mizmor. It looks that they are not connected at all, and Asaf is really in exile, because all Asaf collection appear in the second, in the third book at 73 to 83. But I would like to comment on Asaf and Korach, and we should talk afterwards in more details about the David collection. So we looked at 47. In the close contact of 46, 47, 48, we saw the beautiful Mamar Chazal that Rosh Hashanah is 47, because that's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about the collection of Korach, this beautiful, amazing unit of 12 Mizmorim, 8 in book 2 and 4 in book 3. Thank you very much for your attention. Susan?
Yes, thank you very much, Rabbi Benny. It was really an excellent shiur. There were a number of comments that I would like to share and get your input. Carol asked that perhaps Ezra doesn't mention B'nai Korach because he wants to avoid any reference to rebellion while he's trying to consolidate his own authority. What are your thoughts on that?
Say it again, because he is?
Trying to consolidate his own authority, and he doesn't want to reference a rebellion. So he doesn't mention the B'nai Korach.
That's a very interesting suggestion. I have to think about it. I don't have an answer, and that is that I will think it over. Thank you.
Okay.
So the shtika, you say that the shtika is actually the message. Sometimes you can make a very clear point by just sitting tight and not saying a word. That's an interesting point. I got the message. I cannot add to this message.
Okay, excellent. Jennifer pointed out, you know, questions about Egypt being beloved. And you had talked about all the nations coming together. So it's very difficult. Egypt gave us a very hard time. So while they're going to come back, how do you see this as them being considered beloved?
So let me tell you, that's an interesting text. It's a very interesting text. I brought this Ma'amar Chazal, Ezu Gibor Shebagiborim, how said Oivo Etzon O Havo. Very powerful statement. I think that is what the Bible says. If you look in Zechariah chapter 2, it says all nations will come to Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and all nations will be called Ami Atem. You are my nations. Zechariah 2. We have a new insight when they come back from the exile. All are called our nation. Allow me, and I'm teaching Tehillim. I'm studying Tehillim. What I study, I try to show. I'm with the book, and I'm inspired by these beautiful insights. But let's step back for a moment. Where do we stand here in Yerushalayim in 2020? 2,000 years of exile. 2,000 years of being killed and a lot of suffering. Baruch Hashem, there were other periods in the diaspora, but a lot of suffering. Whether that's the Crusaders, the Inquisition, and the Shoah, no shortage. There is no shortage with this list. And now we are in Yerushalayim, and the Beit HaMikdash is not built today. Rav Unterman said, we cannot, after the 6 days war, we cannot build it. Why? Because the mosque is there, and the nations would never allow that. And since Yeshayahu says, Ki Beiti Beit Tfilah Yikare L'chol HaAmim, our house will be a house for prayer for all nations, Rav Unterman said, we have to step back. We let the Christians and the Arabs in Yerushalayim to be citizens. That is a taste of 87. Here they are. So that's not my expertise. I'm not going to make any historical and political comments. That's not my job. That's not the reason you come to listen to the Shiurim. But if you think about that, this meaning, that yesterday or three generations ago, which place in Europe didn't kill Jews over their history? And they come to Yerushalayim and they learn. And we are a leading Am Yisrael, and that's exactly, not that we were saved from the nations, as my grandmother said, git for the Yidden or nicht git for the Yidden. We are git, we are good for all the nations. We are all a goyim. What a shift from Korach 1 to Korach 2. That is much more than Tehillim. And I have a big respect for Tehillim. But that is a message we take out for our raison d'être, for our existence. Who are we today? Who were we 100 years ago? And what is the future? What a message. Do you agree, Susan?
Yes, how can I disagree, right? A vision of hope and of peace, even when we didn't get it, that we should be able to give it, I think is beautiful. Two more ideas. Maybe I don't expect that you'll have an answer for this off the bat. Ruth mentioned that the vision of Mizmor 87 echoes the vision of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Shirat Hayam. Do you have any thoughts you want to share about that, or
Shirat Hayam? Okay, yes. Meshoravai on Meshoravai.
Yes, from Mizmor 87.
Yeah,
yes. It actually, it's a very interesting connection to that, because that's the way they were singing after Shirat Hayam. Please read 84, and it says they're also Mayan. So the very authentic song of Am Yisrael is when we were saved. And we take the Exodus as a historical experience in Yetziat Mitzrayim, in the second book of the Torah. That is the historical Exodus. But we will see in Tehillim that the Exodus after the exile of Babylon is also an Exodus. And now 87 says it's not only our Exodus, it's an Exodus for all nations. So you have to tell me in America, I don't know in which place from the government, one of the rooms, there is a big picture of the Exodus of Egypt. You have to tell me and where it is. I don't remember. The idea of the Exodus is not only when we were in Egypt or when we come back in our Exodus and in our generation, the Exodus. It's an Exodus which is true for all nations, 87. So that's a very interesting point.
Excellent. Thank you. And then there was another point that I'm just going to bring up, and I don't know if you have any thoughts about this. Rivka Esther mentioned, so Mizmor 47, which we spent time on today, we say seven times on Rosh Hashanah. But she was told that when she lights the Chanukiah that she should say Mizmor 91 seven times. And I'm wondering if there are other such traditions, not formal, but informal, of repeating Pirkei Tehillim, and if you have thoughts on that subject.
I'm not aware of, but I fully agree, all Sefer Tehillim, seven times a week. I'm not aware of any tradition. I can't say, I'm not aware.
Okay, thank you. And I'll just, it was very nice. Robert Perry pointed out that the room with Exodus is at the House of Lords in Britain. That is his suggestion, and it's a wonderful shiur. Thank you so much, and we have what to prepare for next week. So we look forward to seeing everybody next week and learning more Mizmorim. Thank you very, very much, Rabbi Benny.
Thank you very much for the participation. Thanks a lot, everybody.
And Chodesh Tov. Be well.
Thank you. Chodesh Tov and Yom